The first step. I had a girl today that I've known for 3 or 4 years. She's getting a master's degree in theology. Praise the Lord. You know, and she's been in school since Jesus came last time. And I love her. Don't get me wrong. I'm kind of funning her. I talk to her the same way. It's not like that. I don't talk behind people's back. I'll tell them too. It's not like that, right? But this is called the first step. All right? The first step. Okay? Now, the first step is necessary because without taking the first step, you're never going to take the second, the third, the fourth, or whatever. Right? So what I want to do today is I want to walk you through some things that's going to identify why you're having problems right now. And the problem is you're having right now, if you are having this particular problem, is you're not enjoying your first step. But without having gone through your first step, you're never going to go any further in your life. So I want to talk to you about the first step. And the first step to me was very rude. I was talking to a lady today and the Lord just told me, you know what? You've got to identify some things. And that's what I'm going to do today. And what the Lord did with me is, you know, I never had a problem making money. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was way far out there, but money was always easy because I always had a good work ethic. I wasn't a slug. Amen. Whenever I wasn't locked up, I worked. When I was locked up, I kind of worked. But when I was outside, I worked. All right. And so for me, money was never a problem. I never was a particularly great in the brain thing, but I always had a good work ethic. And you know, I'm not going to tell you I never stole things because I stole things. I'm not going to tell you I never lied because I lied. I'm not going to tell you that I never did this and that and I was a basically good guy because I wasn't. But I had a work ethic. So whenever I wasn't locked up, I worked and I worked hard. And I worked harder than everybody around me because I knew as long as I was a hard worker, I would have a job. And as long as I had a job, I would have money. And then the next thing I did was I decided I would do the job that nobody else wanted to do. Because if I do the job that nobody else wanted to do, then they'd always pay me the most money. So my dad was an iron worker. It's kind of a little testimony here. And I was raised like 30 stories in the air. So when I was a kid, you know, I remember when we were in New York, I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. I'd go up to see Dad at work, and we'd go up on the man lift 30 stories in the air, and they got these little 6-inch iron beams, and I'd skinny on out there to where Dad was, sit down and eat lunch. So I never had a fear of heights or anything, but how many people know that a lot of people fear heights? To me, the truth is, if you drop 30 feet, you're probably going to die. So if you drop 30 feet or 300 feet, it's all the same. Except for you get a little longer rush on the way down. How many people have ever dove off of cliffs and bridges? I've done those things. You know what I mean? One of the things that I like to do is I like to do those, you know, cutting edge things. I mean, I like downhill skiing at 65 miles an hour or so on a little piece of fiberglass. Have I hit some trees on the way? You bet. It was rude. But did I enjoy the rush? I did. But the point is, you see, that I always had a work ethic, and because I always had a work ethic, and because I always chose to do the harder things in life that nobody else wanted to do, I always made money. All right? So one of the first things that happened to me when I got saved is I was cocky. How many people can believe maybe I was a little cocky? I'm just telling the truth, you know. You need to be able to go to your mirror and look in the mirror and identify your problems. I was proud and I was prideful. Amen? I always did whatever I wanted to do, no matter what. Didn't care what anybody said. Didn't care what anybody had to tell me. Prideful. Proud. Stuck on myself, if you will. Amen? Now we're going to talk about the first step. And all of you are going to go through the first step, and you're not going to get around it. And I don't care what you think. The truth is that the first step is God has to humble you. Hello. In order to be used, in order to be taught, in order to be anything for God at all, you must be humbled. And God is going to put you through things that is going to humble you. There's no way out of it. You're not going to just get humble because you meet God. As a matter of fact, if you're prideful and arrogant like I am or was, then all that happens is it adds to your arrogance because now you realize you're a chosen one. Amen? So God is going to put you through things that is going to cause you to be humble. And that is going to be the first step and process of your new life in Christ if indeed you want to serve the living God. Starting to sound familiar? Because it's true. There's no other way out. You aren't getting out of it. You aren't avoiding it. It is the first step. Everybody say, first step. I have to be humble. No matter what it takes. He's going to do it for me. And you can take that to the bank. Father, I just ask you today, Lord, as I read these words, that people in this room quit looking at everything like a personal attack, God, and just look at it as the Lord is trying to mold us and shape us, Lord. We all want to sing that song, God, you be the potter and I'll be the clay. But Lord, nobody likes your hands on them at first because they have to change their shape and form. And Lord, let it be today that we start to understand the truth that we must be humble. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Everybody say the first step.
First step
is James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Humble pie you will be eating until you like it. Amen? Humble pie is what you will eat until you learn to like it. How many people know that's right by now? Been with me a while. Have noticed that whatever they seem to like the least is what they get to do. Hallelujah. God is alive in this place. Why? Your pride issues, your arrogance, you're stuck on yourself, believing you're somebody, stands directly in the path of God using you. If you think you're the man or the woman, how can he be the man? Amen? If you think you got it all sewed up and you got it just right and everybody else is wrong, when is he going to get a chance to minister to you? Amen? Everybody say the first step.
First step.
Now I'm going to read a while. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that wars in your members? I want to be noticed. I want to be number one. I want to be the one everybody sees. Why doesn't he ever talk to me? Why doesn't she ever talk to me? How come nobody recognizes me? Look, that person's getting all the attention, and so forth and so on. What's going on? Your desire to be number one. Your desire to be noticed because you're somebody. Pride. Amen? You lust and do not have. You want this and you want that, but you can't have it. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You feud amongst yourselves because you want to be top dog on that pile. Well, let me just tell you something. I've been around a while now, and there's always a top dog on every pile, and it's usually a pile of crap. Because your pride, your arrogance, and the way you think is a big old pile of crap, and God got to get His supersized pooper scooper inside of you to get rid of it so there's no more crap and He can deal with you. Amen? Hey, you like to play King of the Hill? If you want to be king of the poop pile, get it! I would rather just be a servant of the living God. Amen? And the first thing God has got to do to you, whatever He chooses, however, and He knows what's going to offend you the most, Man, I'll be doggone if that ain't the first thing he does. Amen? First thing he told me is quit riding motorcycles. What? God, me? Quit riding? I've been riding since I was 15 years old. All my brothers have one. Most of us got fleets. And you're telling me no more? What? Surely you jest. Sound like a little pride and arrogance there, maybe? You know why? Because I was full of pride and arrogance. Full of crap, if you will. There's other words. Sometimes I use them. Sometimes I don't. But you always get the picture. Amen? The truth is, I had to make a decision. Did I want to be used by God? And then when I stood up and made that stupid declaration, God, I'll live for you forever, I set myself up for what? Everybody say, the first step. Amen? And what's the first step? Oh, let's read on. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Why? Because you want to spend it on your pleasures. Well, God, I want to serve you, but I want my car. I want my million-dollar mansion. I want my somebody taking care of me. And on my spare time, when somebody's not pleasuring me, I'll surely pleasure you. Oh, don't look like I'm the only one. You better go get you a new mirror, honey. You're the one that's still going through it. I quit. He wins, hands down. Amen? Right. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is so profound. Why do you still care what people in the world think about you? Why are you still trying to live according to their standards? Pride. I want to be number one. Let me compete with the ungodly. You still have it in you. And you have to let it go. Amen? And God's going to put you through those things. Let me tell you, I've had it all. I'm so, I get tired of telling people this. I have had everything stolen from me in my life since I'd served God, including my underwear. That's pretty humbling, poor guy. I've had 2 pairs of shoes and my Sunday pair stolen. Amen? I've had to scrape my face with just soap and old razors, and I had to be careful and go real slow because I had no money for a new one. And just a year before, I could have anything I wanted. Are you hearing me? What was the point? God had to work on me to make me dependent on Him so I would no longer be dependent on me. You see, we have been trained in life to depend on ourselves. We have been trained in life to make something happen. But God says, whoa, stop! I'm your source. You turn to me. And you let me get you where you need to be. And then all these things will be added unto you. Amen? So we've got to let God work on us to do the things that He needs to do to get us on track in Him. And the first thing you get to do is eat lots and lots and lots of my favorite pie that's called humble pie. Amen? And there's no way out of it, and you can't get out of it because your values and His are not the same, but He wants to give you His values, but you've got to let Him give them to you the way He knows it how. And everybody say, you got to take the humble pie. Amen? Let me tell you, I'm going to be going to look at a ranch property here in the next couple weeks. Now, there's going to be a fine house on it somewhere, but nobody that goes into first phase is ever going to get in it. They're going to live in 24 by 24 cabins, if you will, with outdoor plumbing. There's going to be a wood stove on each one for the winter time. And yes, somebody will have to chop wood to make it work. And they will all stand in line at one sink to brush their teeth, shave, and they'll get 5 minute showers. And every day they will eat my favorite meal, which is beans and rice and Jesus Christ. Oh, but they will be blessed. They will get oatmeal in the morning with pancake syrup for sweetener, and they'll eat that every day the whole time they're there forever. Everybody say the first step. Yeah. I've heard that before. You're not the first one to comment like that. But I'm going to tell you what. The next time they get back next to society, by the time they arrive at this church, instead of whining about too much salt or too much pepper on the food, instead of whining about the food's cold or the food's hot, instead of whining because the sheets are the wrong color or whatever they want to whine about, by the time they get here, they'll think this place is heaven.
Amen.
Everybody say the first step. You see, you think I'm kidding, but those of them that have known me for years and years know that I am telling the absolute truth. Amen? Porta potties are a way of life. Absolutely. It's absolutely true. One kitchen feeds everybody. One sink per building, and that's the way it is. And I'm telling you, it's humble when you're like this. Waiting in line to get to do whatever you have to do. Why? Why? Because you got to be humble. Paul said, I have learned to abase and I have learned to abound. And what that means, whatever station of life I find myself at, I have learned that Jesus is Lord in every place, and it is not my environment that makes me happy or sad. It is my relationship with the living God. And if those things bother you so much, I'll be sure to send you as soon as I open it. Because you got to get over that in your life.
No, I don't need that.
Well, you don't know what you need. But I'm going to tell you. It will not be an option either. Everybody that has not gone will go.
Amen.
Period. And they will be there for 90 days. And when they get to the place where they learn all their scriptures are close, then they'll get to come into town once a month and go to the big church. Now quit your clowning and let me finish speaking. Why? Because you see, you don't know what humble is. But in order for God to rebuild you, you must be fully broken. Did you get that? There's no way. Because you hang on to any of your old thing, you're never going to get all of the new thing. And you know, you can write this down in your Bible somewhere, and within the next year, it will manifest. Period. Amen. I've always thought that everybody that comes here is spoiled. Amen. And stays spoiled and doesn't even know they're spoiled. Wouldn't it be better you'd know when you were spoiled? All right. So let's go on. It says in verse 5, or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? What does that mean? The Spirit of the Lord is always tugging on your heart. The Spirit of the Lord is always trying to bring you closer to Him. But because of what you feel like you need, you will not take and pay attention to what He has to say. I know people that have heard the voice of the Lord tell them to do something, but instead of doing what they are told, they make a decision not to listen because it does not have what they feel is suitable for their lifestyle. What if God walked up to you and you are spoiled and He said, you will go to Africa and you will minister in bush country and you will live on a dirt floor and you will eat whatever they eat, whatever it is, and you will be happy so that they will accept you so that you will minister to them. Amen? And I don't care if they serve you monkey brains, you better eat it. Because otherwise, what is going to happen is you are going to be insulting them and they are not going to receive anything that you have to say. I can't go outside and poop in a hole in the ground or pee in a hole in the ground. Why not? If everybody else does it, why can't you? Why should that matter in comparison to the fact that God has called you to do something? Everybody say, the first step. You got to get perspective. You were not sent here for your personal pleasure. You were sent here for God's pleasure. Amen? God has ordained a path for you, and you got to get over yourself in order to be truly used by the Lord. Amen? If you think I enjoyed all my steps I've been through, you're out of your stinking mind. But I'm going to tell you, I went through them because I knew they were God's steps for me. And I know that the first thing you got to do is be humble. Amen? It goes on in verse 6 and he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are humble, God's grace will abound in your life. If you are no respecter of persons, if you're willing to do whatever and it means nothing to you because you are thankful that you are being used by God, then His grace is going to abound in your life. Are you starting to get the picture? You have got to get this picture because it doesn't matter. All those things that you think matter don't mean nothing. What really matters is, are you listening to God? Are you doing what He asks you to do? Are you allowing the potter to mold the clay? Or are you just a lump on the little table that goes round and round? Because that's how you come into the kingdom, is just a stinking lump, full of crap, full of impurities, full of junk. And if you don't allow Him to mold you, then you will walk off that thing the same way you went on. Amen? You see, being humble is the first step. Because he resists the proud. How dare somebody that is told to do something by the voice of the Lord in their life to tell him, no, I need so much money. And yet I know many people that are supposed to be in ministry that will not be in ministry because they put a price on serving God. Are you hearing me? You are not supposed to expect anything. Whatever you get is God's grace in your life. And in the end, you must understand that your whole life is to be a servant of God, not a servant of you. What does it matter? And that's why I built the ranch like I did. That's why I ran the ranch like I did. That's why this place is run like it is. Because you've got to get over yourself. You got to be humble. You got to be thankful for everything that happens in your life because God has happened in your life. And if that ain't enough for you, then you don't know nothing about the truth of God's grace in this world today. What does it matter if you have a new car or an old jalopy or nothing at all? Are you in His will? Amen? That's the part, that's why we got to go through this first thing here. I'm telling you, this is no joke to me, that I tell it all the time, that for like 4.5 years, I made nothing. Nothing. Because I was a real knucklehead. I told you, I was used to making money. I was used to having things. I could reach in my pocket, pull out a roll, and buy whatever I wanted. I lived like that. I know what that means. I didn't like fancy clothes, so I didn't have any. But my motorcycles were top of the line. And if I wanted to go blow $1,000 at Disneyland, I would go blow $1,000 at Disneyland and be mad that I walked out of there with change. So money didn't mean nothing to me. Right? So the God that I serve knew that the first thing He had to do with me is take away all my money. How much?
All.
Well, I didn't care the first year. The second year, I was kind of starting to care when my pants and my stuff started falling apart. By the third year, I was in caring. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. He became my source. By the fourth year, He was my source. And to this day, it has never changed. I don't go around begging for money. I don't go around begging for things. I pray, I ask the Lord my God, and He helps me to think through. And always I aim to, I have what I need when I get there. Amen? And when I look at it, the provision is always there when the timing is right there. Amen? You see, people, but I would have never learned that unless I'd taken the first step. Now let me go on. You see, a lot of you guys come in here, you think, well, you know, I've had a drug problem. Your only problem is separation from God. You know what I mean? Your only problem is the fact that you are separated from your source. The only problem you got is you got to get God right in the middle of your life where He's supposed to be. And the way that happens is you get loose of all that other junk that don't mean nothing and you focus on what means something. Amen? Let me go on. How many people are tired of the devil? Well, how come is he still bugging you? Let me tell you why. It says, therefore, submit to God. To who?
God.
Not stuff and things. Not Joe Blow Schmo. Not the man that you have a job with. But you submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What's the first thing it says?
Submit.
What does it mean? God, here I am. I'm not much. But whatever I am yours, God. I might just make me a t-shirt someday that's called Ex-Scumballs for Christ or something. You know what I mean? Because I was a scumball. And when I gave my life to God, I just said, you know, I'm not much, God, and I'm not very smart, but I can see right now that the right thing to do is give you my life. Here it is, take it. I can't believe you want it, but here it is anyway. Amen? And then, God, you ordained my step for me. And bang, He took away my motorcycle, and bang, He put me into full-time ministry. And He told me, quit my job and all the rest of it. And I was like in a whirlwind. Way out of my element. Why? So that I could be molded by the potter. Because I am the clay. Are you following me here today? And the first thing He did was He humbled me. It says in verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You're having problems? Well then, draw close to God and get away from you. You are your own worst nightmare. Amen? The way you think, what you imagine, what you do. You need to get close to God. And when you get close to God, He is going to get close to you. That even makes sense. Duh. If I get closer to this guy, he's obviously closer to me. Amen? So if you're over here holding God out like this so He doesn't get too close to you because you don't want certain issues in your life dealt with, then of course He's going to be over there and you're going to be there. You got to draw God. Help me! You understand? Fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. Do whatever it takes. You are the potter. I am the clay. Excuse me for sniveling, Lord. I forget that You shed Your blood for me. Amen? And when you do that, you see, then God will get close to you and you will get close to God and He will overwhelm those things in your life because He will find the center of your life and He will rest in your life. And that's when your life begins to turn around. Amen. I want to go to Matthew 6 for just a minute. I do a whole Bible study on what the Lord has to say here, Matthew 6. I'm going to just start in verse 19. This is Jesus, your Savior, said that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures." "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." What is he telling you? He's telling you, serve me. Lay up your treasures in heaven, not for yourself here on earth, right? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you care more about your clothes, the way you look, the car you drive, those kind of things, that is where your treasures lie, because that is where you spend your time." Amen? You think about it. Obviously, I don't care about those things. And maybe I should care more, and someday I might. Or I might not, as the Lord would please. Amen? But mostly I care about Him, what He'd have me do, the Word of God, and making sure of my path in Him. Because serving God is an inside thing. It's not an outside thing. Amen? He goes on to say that the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Right? You can see darkness or light in people's eyes. How many people have ever noticed? You can see people that are on dope. You can see people that are lying to you. You know what I mean? The eyes, the Bible says, is the windows to the soul. Amen? And what that means is you can see what's really in people by looking at their eyes. That's why I always make eye contact when I'm talking to somebody. Look at me. I'll tell them when they're fading me, look at me! Because then I'm going to know the rest of the truth. Because you cannot hide, because those are windows. And especially if you're a man or a woman of God that's a leader, God will give you absolute revelation of the conditions of the heart through that person's eyes. Amen? All right. "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great the darkness." He goes on to say, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in the world." Make your choice. Because Jesus said, and how many people know Jesus is God? And He is always right and never wrong. If He says you cannot serve the world and serve God, then make your choice. Amen? I've made mine. I haven't always liked some of the things I went through, but I've never regretted the turn in my life. Amen? So it goes on to say, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Isn't it? Isn't it life more than what you put on yourself? I'm going to just jump to verse 31. It says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink?" Quit worrying. Serve the Lord. You serve God, He will supply. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What is He telling you? That you got to get rid of the crap in your life. You got to get rid of your false things in your life, your false idols, whatever they are. You know, mine, I had a lot of them. One of them is, you know, of course, I like to be, you know, whatever. I had a lot of, I guess the proper terminology in a Latino culture is machismo, pride. Amen. I had a lot of pride. Amen. And, I've never been really stupid. So, I mean, I would use my mind for the wrong things. Okay. I always would make something happen if nothing seemed to be happening. And what I had to do is I had to totally be humbled so that God could mold me. You see, the fact is, you come in as a rough lump of clay. When God gets you, you're a rough lump of clay. You're just a blob full of crap and impurities on top of the potter's wheel. Amen? And in order for you to truly be molded, you have got to allow Him to mold you. And the first thing He's going to do with each and every one of you is He is going to humble you. Amen? And it's not because you want to be humbled. It's because if God resists the proud. So in order for you to be usable, He must break your pride issues in your life. You got to quit caring. You know, it's like if I find out somebody doesn't like to clean toilets, I'm going to make sure they clean them all. I got to clean my toilet now and then. It ain't so bad. It doesn't smell like roses, but you know, it's part of things you do in life. Amen? It ain't that bad. Right? Could be worse. And I've been worse. You understand? If I've got to take and go without a meal now and then, hey, you know, I can go without a meal now and then. Right? You know, I mean, that's not going to bother me. Yeah, I'm not going to pick my jobs either. When I came over here, I knew why I'd come over here. I had been doing what I do today before I got here. But I walked into the office, I told them, you know what? I'll do whatever you want. You want me to do the floors? I'll do the floors. You want me to clean the toilets? I'll clean the toilets. If you want me to scrub the walls, I'll scrub the walls. You want me to do the plumbing? I'll do the plumbing. You want me to fix the walls? I'll fix the walls. What was my point? God, use me. You sent me here. You use me here. Who are we to define what God wants to do with our lives? You see, people, we need to get to that place where we let God do that work. But everybody says the first thing we have to do is, everybody say this, is take the first step. And the first step that you're going to go through is humble pie and lots of it. Because God needs to break those issues in your life so that they are no longer issues in your life. Amen? Because I assure you, what He's going to cause you to go through later on in your destiny is going to be stand against great opposition. The world is not probably going to understand, and most of the church that barely serves God will not understand. So you're going to have to stand in His provision and in His knowledge for your life, and the only way that's going to happen is if you let Him mold you. You understand? And so in everything that you see around here, and I hear all the noise, and I'm a grown man, and I'm a grown woman, and don't talk to me like that. You know what? You just got a pride issue, and you need to get over it. Amen. You didn't come here to tell me how to do this. You came here to learn about the things of God. But unfortunately, everybody starts in the same place, and it's humble pie. Amen? And when you're faithful in the little things, and those things no longer make a difference to you, then God is going to take you to the next thing. See, it's a total story of workshop to workshop to workshop to workshop, but you can't choose your workshop. Amen? So today, if you're wondering why things seem to be so rude, there's a reason, and no, it's not me. Amen? It's the Lord trying to break you so that He can shape you. Let God have His perfect work. Let God work in your life. Let God go through and be everything that you need to be as He brings one issue after another up. Let Him work in it. Make God the source of your provision and happiness and nothing else. You know what, people? Some of the people in this room, there's a good chance you might end up as a missionary in Mexico. It's awful close. And what are you going to do when you go down there and sit in some peasant's mud hut and they got no utensils? Are you going to know what to do? Well, a lot of you aren't. Amen? And then there's going to be a lot of things if you become a missionary that you're not going to want to do. You're not going to want to eat certain things. And it's because your preferences are going to get in the way of you serving God. You understand? You cannot let your preferences rule your life in God. You must let God rule you in your life. Hallelujah. Humble pie. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm being slightly facetious, but in the end, These are spiritual principles. Amen? But they're learned in the world we live in. Hallelujah. Father, I just ask you today, Lord, that you touch these people, that, Lord, as they go through that first step, that they grab a hold of it, God. They become everything that they're supposed to be. They don't try to wiggle out of nothing, Lord. That they just stand, Lord, so that they might go through and go to the next step, so they don't continue to return to the first step. And I love you, Lord, and I praise you for everything you've done in my life and everything you're going to do in their life, God. We love you. Help us, God, to enjoy the potter's wheel no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.